bowel, right to the belly of the
beast. Inside his command post, somewhere in the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we have made contact with him, Don Robb. Don Robb Flicks.
So I need you to keep something in mind here. This is my first podcast. I've never done something like this. I've always been known for being behind the lens. That's how I've always liked it. That's how I prefer it. But, you know, I've been watching so many fucking podcasts lately where I'm like, man, I could do the same shit. I don't know why I'm not doing it. I like to talk. I talk a lot. I have my opinion on a lot of things. And I think my opinion, some of you might appreciate it. Some of you might laugh at it. Some of you might be like, man, this guy's an idiot. Some of you might feel me. I mean, some of you might. You might think the same way I think. I don't know. Leave comments. Do whatever you want. I plan on doing. If you know anything about me, anything about my history, when I start something, it goes for years to come, man. So, let's talk about the first thing here: Stephen A. Smith for president. I mean, before we even talk, why don't we just roll right into this?
Nobody is calling out the president, Donald Trump. I will. And I'm not going to call him names and all of this stuff like stupid folks on the left doing, engaging in incendiary rhetoric. It's unnecessary, it's immature, and it's uncalled for. He's the president of the United States. Treat him with the respect that he deserves, but in the same breath, call him to the carpet for stuff that he's doing.
Are you really thinking about running for president? Is this something you think?
Listen, I have no choice because I've had elected officials, and I'm not going to give their names, elected officials coming up to me. I've had folks who are pundits come up to me. I've had folks that got a lot of money, billionaires and others, that have talked to me about exploratory committees and things of that nature. I'm not a politician. I've never had a desire to be a politician. I just signed a contract extension with ESPN. I am very, very
pretty
happy
good one too.
With my day job. I'm very happy with my bosses. It's a pretty damn good one. Just right. It's a pretty damn good contract. I couldn't be happier. But here's the reality. People have walked up to me, including my own pastor, for crying out loud, who has said to me, you don't know what God has planned for you. At least show the respect to the people who believe in you, who respect you, who believe that you can make a difference in this country, to leave the door open for any possibilities 2 to 3 years down the line. And that's what I've decided to do. But again, whether it's Westmore, Governor Westmore, who I know, or Governor Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania, who I know, Andrew Cuomo, who I had the pleasure of interviewing, who's trying to get back in things and be the next mayor of New York, etc. I see a lot of people that obviously and clearly are more qualified than me. But in the same breath, when you think about what Trump is getting away with, when you think about what you brought up about Steve Bannon, who's trying to be slick because he's looking at a non-political individual like myself, looking at me as a populist. But you better be careful what you ask for, because some of the stuff that Trump and the right has been trying to get away with, like circumventing the 22nd Amendment of the Constitution, talking about how there could be a third term. Excuse me. Be careful what you wish for, because if any GOP member, if any Republican supports that, I don't want to hear a word out of their mouth ever again about the following the Constitution. The Constitution. That's what they've been living off for years. And then you're talking about circumventing the 22nd Amendment, and you think that's cool? No way. That's not something that we should stand for. So I would hope somebody else would step up that's more qualified than me. But if it has to come down to me, it is something I would consider. Yes, I would, because I don't mind the thought of tussling with these folks at all, on the left or the right. All of them disgust me, to be quite honest with you.
So, I mean, can you say it any better?
The issues that need to be addressed, no matter how I feel on other side of the aisle. I'm an independent. I'm going to say what I feel. I'm going to speak my mind.
About the Democrats, about the Republicans. I mean, they really are all the same outside of all this crazy woke stuff and all this. I mean, we don't need to get into it. I don't want to divide anybody here. I'm sure some of you think one way, some of you think the other way. I have my own way, I think. As time progresses, you will hear more about it, obviously. I mean, that's what a podcast is about. I realize that I might offend some people. Hopefully, I don't. You know, I really don't plan on offending people, but sometimes I just don't care. And right here, I got my little handy-dandy notepad. Some people like to use the iPads and all that. I mean, I'm pretty old school, man, and you'll learn that more about me as we get further into these. But, I mean, my take on Stephen A. Smith, I mean, come on, man. He's a celebrity. He's not a dummy. I mean, The guy's a pretty smart guy, man. I mean, he thinks rational. He's all, you know, he's very vocal on his own opinion. I like his opinions. Some I don't. Most I do. But some I don't. I will admit that. I'm not going to bullshit you. I'm not going to tell you who I voted for in this last election. As you watch, you know, more of these podcasts, you'll figure it out on your own. But I do always have my comments, my takes on things. You know, I mean, come on, look at this.
You're not talking about being an independent.
Well, listen,
you're talking about trying to change your party. Your party is a Democratic party, and you're trying to, you know, have it both ways. Well, you want to either you're an independent or you're a Democrat.
Well, you say, that's what y'all say. That's what people like
you say.
That's what politicians say. There's a whole bunch of American citizens out there that don't want anything to do with the fringes. That whether you're center left or center right, they want common sense, man. They want to listen to people that have common sense.
Do you align?
I'm telling you who I am.
The Democratic Party or the Republican Party, or are you more independent?
I'm more independent. But the reality is, what's the chances of an independent winning a general election? Slim to none.
I could see the Democrats.
You know this better than me.
You talked about billionaires and prominent Democrats, and you've been kind enough to share privately with me, and I would never reveal my sources, the number of people that have reached
out
to you and who these people are. I think that's pretty enticing. Yeah. I think some of them probably they're trying to get intel for other candidates that they're really supporting and not for you. They're not really there for you. I think some may sincerely be there. But at the end of the day, do you want to be part of a party that led to the greatest national security threat in our history with wide open borders and 12 million unvetted illegals, including known terrorists, murderers, rapists, cartel members, gang members? Do you want to be part of a party that systemically lied about Biden's cognitive health, that lied about the economy? Do you want to be part of a party? Do you want to be part of a party that cares more about the rights of men to play women's sports, the rights of illegals over the safety of Americans? I have Rachel Morin's mother on this program tonight. Do you want to be part of a party that thinks it's a constitutional crisis if, in fact, you eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse? Is that what you believe? Because I don't think you do.
No, I do not. Okay. And I spoke adamantly against some of those things that you articulated on my own show and on this show, as along with various other shows. But let me tell you what I do want to be a part of. I want to be a part of a party and a part of an American society that looks at those actions that you just chronicled and says that has no business in the United States of America. We can do better. Let's exercise common sense and decency. Let's understand that even when we look at the right, every damn thing ain't wrong about what Trump do. You might have a problem with how he's going about with the tariffs, but his position about the tariffs isn't totally wrong. Guess what? The border is better since he's been in office because we no longer have open borders, but we could still look at him and say, you know what, with Obrego, the bottom line is this. The you know, immigration, you know, a judge ruled for protection for the kid, and the Supreme Court voted 9-0 in order for him to be here. Go back and get him from El Salvador. We can agree on some things, we can disagree on some things, but in the end, it's about a core decency that we are devoid of right now in our politics. I hope somebody from the Democratic Party steps up. I hope I light a fire under them and get a more qualified individual in this mix so people can stop asking me this stuff and I can enjoy my life. But if it continues to get worse, all hands on deck. All of us should consider running for crying out loud rather than dealing with this nonsense.
I get it. All right, let me ask you this. Do you believe in the environmental policies, climate alarmism, Green New Deal policies? Do you agree with the DEI agenda of the Democratic Party? Do you support woke in America, transgenderism? Do you think one tax dollar should ever go to...
It's not as finite as you try to make it.
One tax dollar ever go into any of those programs, especially abroad? Why are we giving a penny to Harvard University when they have a $50 billion endowment? Help me with that.
I don't know the answer to that question. But what if I find out that there's a pretty decent answer for that question? I don't know the answer to that question when you bring up Harvard. You would think with an endowment like that, they wouldn't do it. But why has this federal government spent years giving it? Maybe it's because they make a contribution to the American fabric that you're not articulating on this particular show. We don't know the answer to that question. And just like you ask questions about the left, I could ask questions about the right, too. Let's just be fair about it. Everything. We don't have to agree on everything.
Why are we paying for an Ivy League elitist institution when maybe we could be shoring up community colleges, trade schools, so we can be helping the children of the hardworking men and women that don't have an opportunity to ever think about an elite private school like that? I'll give you the last word.
Okay, that's a fair question, and let's hope Trump, the president of the United States, has a big time answer for that. I get that part. I understand what you're saying. As a common American citizen, you look at your frustration. Excuse me, he's cutting them off. But why? The intent matters. How you go about doing things matter. All of those things come into consideration.
You know, these Ivy school. We can't be paying these Ivy school brats tuition. If they want to go to an Ivy League school, get the money yourself, get it from mommy or daddy, or go to work, save up, and then go pay for it yourself. How's that?
And when did you come to this conclusion? When did you start saying this? Were you saying this before when Obama was in office? Because I'd love for you to interview him and ask him that question. I'm asking. I'm not confusing you or not saying it. I'm
asking. Ask who what question?
Ask Obama.
Ask who what question?
Ask a Harvard student. Ask Barack Obama that question. He spoke adamantly.
I didn't get I took out a student loan. I paid back every single penny of it. I paid for all my college myself. Checkmate.
So did I.
Boom.
You ain't the only one that did
there
that.
You go.
You're not the only one that did that. I did that as well. But what if that particular student from Harvard has an ability to make a major contribution to our society? We got to entertain that. Scholarships are given out all the time by everybody.
As you evolve politically, you are going to find you are more in agreement with things that I believe in and the values that I believe in than the values of this party that you feel compelled and have no other choice to align yourself with. Because you do have a choice.
Let me tell you something.
And
I'm about free market capitalism. I'm about national security. I'm about controlling our borders. I'm about all of those things. But here's the problem. The minute Sean Hannity says you're going to find yourself agreeing with me, that's when you lose me. That's the last thing I want to do.
Oh,
so keep that in mind the next time you say that, okay?
Boom.
When you bring you up, yeah. Yeah, you do.
Personal.
Why would I want to agree with you?
I'm not going to be a part of Sean Hannity. And I defend you. Everyone that interviews me, they want to know why are you friends with Stephen A. Smith.
Here
and I go to bat for you, and I spend hours defending you.
Do you have any idea what I experience in the black community because I'm friends with you? Don't even get me started.
Okay,
you got to be crazy sitting up here.
So, I mean, I'll vote for him. As of right now, I'm down for Stephen A. Smith. I'm down with him. I mean, who else is going to run for the president again? I mean, what, J.D. Vance on the Republican side? I mean, who do you have on the Democrat side? You can't really run an independent because there's no structure for an independent. That's a whole nother episode to talk about, to really get into that, but there's no structure for an independent. They'll just get crushed no matter what. So I get why Stephen A. Is running as a Democrat. He's always, you know, he's an independent. He is an independent. That's the truth about Stephen A. But at the same time, he has to pick a party, you know, with the backing. And a lot of his views do align with the Democrat Party, even though he likes to call himself an independent. He's not a conservative at all. He's not a Republican at all. He has a lot of Republican and conservative friends. And that's because he's not a dumbass, and he understands that you need to keep communications open. It's what's wrong with having friends with people that don't think identical to you? Why do you want to live in a chamber box? I mean, an echo chamber. I mean, who wants that? A lot of famous people want that. A lot of famous people want to have yes men around them and an echo box. But that's why Hollywood's the way Hollywood is. And but Stephen A, he's his own man, you know what I mean? And I respect him for that. So I support him as of right this minute, right now. I support Stephen A. Smith for president of the United States in 2028. What's your thoughts on that? Let me know your opinion. So with that, let's roll into this right here. Once upon a time, there were these two white boys, these two white dudes out of out of a place called Detroit, Michigan. One was really from the trailer park. One wasn't. One wished he was from the trailer park. One didn't wish he was from the trailer park. One was forced to live in a trailer park because, you know, life struggles. I mean, you know, there's a lot of struggles out there, man. And there's a lot of single moms out there. And, you know, back in the old days, I mean, it wasn't as easy for women to really have the type of positions that you see women having these days. So I mean, there's a lot of CEOs out there. There's a lot of, you know, business owners out there. There's a lot of professional women out there, and it has nothing to do with all this DEI talk. I mean, affirmative action did play into that. When affirmative action first kicked off, it did kick off to really help women more than any other minority out there. But you do have to remember, at one time, up until recent times, women didn't really even get to vote. So, I grew up with a single mom with 8 kids, so I have a lot of respect for women and for especially single women and the struggles they go through when they're raising their kids and how their bosses think they can't go pick their kids up from school and they have to figure it out, and they just don't get it, man. They don't get it. I get it as a boss. I've always gotten it, and I have my certain beliefs and other beliefs I don't have, but I get it, and it's important for, I think, everybody to get it. But it's like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, if let's say you're talking to someone that's rich and they never grew up struggling, they never grew up, you know, where the power got turned off or they had to eat fucking, you know, cold beans out of a can. And you're talking to them and you're mentioning that things like that to them, and they don't relate, man. They don't get it. They never walked in your shoes. They don't know what it's like. So, you know, that's that. But my whole point of this story is there was these two dudes. One was named Eminem. The other was Kid Rock. Kid Rock was the fake wannabe trailer trash dude. Eminem was the real motherfucker from the trailer park. Real shit. He was. He grew up struggling. He grew up in the hood. He grew up around black people. I mean, I relate with him. You know what I'm saying? I know that sounds funny as fuck, but in my time period, you got made fun of, man. If you're a white dude and you tried to rap, you know, you were called a wannabe. There wasn't many white rappers. There was very few, you know. And Kid Rock grew up wealthy. He did. He grew up pretty wealthy, man. His dad had a lot of money and bought him DJ equipment. You know, hooked him up, man. And the dude had a dream. Like a lot of people have a dream. And we have a lot of those kind of guys nowadays where they grew up with some money and they're able to get some studio equipment, you know, and bam, putting music out. And that's a whole nother topic we could talk about the music industry being fucking just completely flooded right now, man. It's flooded. It's inundated with just fucking garbage beats, garbage raps, garbage lyrics. And it's all about, you know, it's just nonstop social media content that everybody's trying to get. And it's making some people famous, man. And some people that don't deserve to be famous, it makes them feel like they're famous because they get all these likes and comments and shit like that. So there's just too many people, man. But I'm ranting now. I'm moving off topic. So let's get back in topic here. So you have these two white dudes, man, and one's real as fuck, the other one's fake. Kid Rock, the fake one. This motherfucker basically runs away from home or leaves, splits home or whatever he does, man. I don't know if he ran away. You can look me up on that. You can fact check me, whatever. I just know that he left from his rich house. I think his dad owned grocery stores or car dealerships or something like that, but he owned a bunch of shit and they lived on some land and a nice big house and blah, 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 you know? And we all know the story of Eminem. A lot of people don't know the story of Kid Rock, man. So I was just chiming all that in, but long story short, he's on Bill Maher. Here's Here we go.
Plus, in liberal cities like L.A. and Chicago and shit, Nashville,
but what does that have to do
cranking.
With the rigged election that you lost
no,
your
No, I'm
visit?
Just saying it was fucking very confusing. Oh, yes. The way to fucking get people to think a certain way is confuse the fuck out of them.
Darling, I suffered.
Stop with the darling.
I got more shit than anybody for speaking out, again, as the liberal against the liberal point of view.
I got a lot of shit.
But you're not a liberal. So I took it from that side about my stance on COVID, which was much closer to your stance, I'm guessing. I did think they overreacted hugely. And I want the right to say what vaccine I want to get without being forced to get one. And I will always be resentful that they made me get one so that I, and if I didn't, I would not be able to continue my life. I wouldn't have been allowed near my studio or to go on the road. I was in Nashville during that period to do a show.
I got the vaccine because my dad had cancer at the time. And I wanted to see my dad during, you know, this. And if I'm like, you know, the shit I put in my body, I'm like, it can hit me.
Well, well the vac, you know, I hope your dad's okay.
He passed on, but thank you.
Well,
I'll tell you what.
Hope he's better than that.
I'll tell you what a fucking guy Trump is and what a friend he is. During my dad was in hospice, he called me all the time to check, how's your father? Just out of the blue. This guy called me 4 times during the inauguration just to talk.
Well,
maybe because I don't drill him with policy all the time, this and the other. Just,
right.
We've developed this friendship
right.
of like, fuck
it.
This, fuck that. Like,
it.
How's it going? Like,
yep.
I mean, I can't tell you what a tremendous fucking friend this man has
I'm
been.
Glad
not him,
have,
but his whole family. Like, people like, I just can't tell you enough,
it's,
Bill. Like,
it's not the first time I've heard stories about the humanity of Donald Trump. I know to a lot of people-
He doesn't want to start any wars.
They're going to hear that, and they're going to be like, oh my God. But yes, I've never heard actually anything different than when you meet him personally, he's a different guy.
Well, after I did your show the first time years ago, you don't remember- We've talked. Let me just interject 1 second. Like, politically incorrect.
Yeah, yeah.
I was not a big star yet. I was on my ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Someone talked your people into you. You didn't know me, and I went on that show, and I never forgot it. And we talked about this last time. We went and had dinner, met Bill Clinton.
Yep.
With Gregory Peck and these people.
Yep.
Said,
Gregory Peck.
I forgot. And then I started watching years later with your new show now, and I'm like, I hate this motherfucker. Honestly, God, I'm like, I'm like, this little ugly motherfucker, fucking beady-eyed, fucking goddamn Jew, and then I find out you're Catholic. I'm like, God damn, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I kept watching, because it was like one of those train wrecks you can't turn off. And I'm like, sitting there and the other, and I'm like, man, you know what? This motherfucker's kind of like me in a lot of ways. Like, he's real. I might not agree with him.
Right.
Don't agree with him. But he's fucking real. And I'm like, and now look at us sitting here.
I know.
Talking like, would you consider me a friend at this
Absolutely.
Point?
Absolutely.
I would consider you one too.
Absolutely.
And I know
it's
this.
Only
can,
good.
And imagine if this can happen between you and President Trump, right? When you want to set a precedent for people coming together, bringing this country together. If you guys sit down and be like, it's not like you did this, and just have a conversation.
Okay, but Bob, it is a little different because we're friends who don't have that kind of power. He has a lot of power about how things actually are done in this country. So
and you might be able to influence that by being a friend of his.
I would love that.
You don't have to go suck his dick.
I won't.
No, I know you won't. But I guarantee, and by the way, but you guys doing that could set a huge precedent
and,
for the world.
Bring me to the White House with you.
I'll ask him.
I'll fly to Nashville. We'll go out the night before.
You'll get on Air Fuck One. That's my jet.
I'll fly to Nashville. We'll go out the night before and do something completely unpresidential. And then we'll fly to Washington the next day, and you'll bring me to meet President Trump. And that'll be in Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
We got him. Well, he's here.
I mean, I agree with him on that. You know what I mean? And why not go? Why would you not go to the White House? I know I'd go. For sure I'd go. 100% I'd go. I would, don't matter who the fucking president is. If I got invited to go to the White House, I would definitely go to the White House. I think most people will go to the White House. So, but, you know, here's Bill Maher's take on it after he met with Trump.
Big that happened over the last couple of weeks when Bill had dinner with Donald Trump. And Bill, you laid it out on your show the way that you saw it. And, you know, one of the things that really struck me that you said was, a crazy person doesn't live in the White House. A person who plays a crazy person on TV a lot lives there. And that really set off a whole tirade online, you know, in various media outlets. I'm just going to give you one. Josh Rogan, who is a Washington Post columnist, said this. I think
he was on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He was on the show.
He was on the panel.
He was on the panel.
He was on the panel with who else, Bill?
With Piers Morgan.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He said, I think you've fallen into the trap, and I think I represent 99% of the internet when I say you've played the game of proximity. I'm not questioning your motivation. I'm questioning Trump's, okay? To that, you say what?
As opposed to what? First of all, I love 99% of the internet. Exactly. That's where he lives, on the internet. A bunch of squabbling Real Housewives, I guess, of the world, just yelling at each other and wanting to live in the algorithm of hate. That's what we were trying to get away from here. So I guess my question to those people, and by the way, I had my people go through the numbers. It's really only the 10% of the far, far left who hated me before this. So it hasn't increased, those same people. And I would say to them, as opposed to what? I have the opportunity to go to the White House and talk to the president and not give up my principles. It seems like nobody noticed that. I didn't go MAGA. I had the opportunity to talk to Donald Trump and say to things to him that maybe he never hears. Literally to speak truth to power. I shouldn't take that opportunity. Again, don't do that. Okay. And then there was the part about, you know, should I lie about how I found him? Because apparently that didn't please people. They wanted to hear that he was the same monster that they see in public, and he wasn't. Again, these are the people who love truth. We're losing truth. I agree. I've said it myself. Been one of the leading voices on that. What's true anymore? We don't know. We want the truth. We're thirsty for truth. I told you the truth. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a liar. That's the way he was in private. I said it, and I'll say it again. That's what I saw. I was just reporting what I saw. And by the way, I don't need to be lectured on who Donald Trump is. I was one of the first people to call it out before anybody did. And, you know, he sued me in 2013 about the orangutan thing. And we talked about that, by the way.
I was just going to say.
That's another thing. It's so interesting. Excuse me, can I finish my point? Yes, a question? So
that was me not asking the question. That was Harvey asking the question. I was just interrupting you.
Okay. Because, you know, what people do is they do interrupt, and then you don't say the whole thing, and then they don't really repeat the whole thing, so it gets to be half done. So I'm trying to avoid that. But there's so much talk about, you know, he's surrounded by ass-kissers, which is true. I've said it myself. The editorial I did the Friday before I went to the White House on Monday was about that. It was about we're becoming North Korea. And he's just surrounded by people who kiss his ass and are MAGA. And he mentioned it to me when I was there. He said, you know, I thought maybe you'd be nice, but you hit me hard. Yeah, I hit him hard. I'm not pulling punches, either on my show or when I was with him or after. And I'm proud that I was able to go into the White House and say to the President of the United States, look him in the eye and say, you're scaring people. It doesn't bother you that you're scaring so many of your own citizens. I'm proud that I confronted him when we talked about the orangutan thing, and I didn't apologize. I said, yeah, because I did that because you were making fun and mocking Obama's birth origins. And I thought that was low. So I should be a hero for going there and doing those things and saying those things to the president. I'm not the villain here. I mean, there's two ways you can do the Oval Office. The way I did it, honestly, or like Gretchen Whitmer, and hold up a bunch of binders in front of your face.
Right.
Well, so Bill, that when I so rudely interrupted you, I was going to say what people forget is, I guess, because it's 10 years ago and we only have a 90-day collective memory, but you were engaged in litigation with him over that orange orangutan. People don't, they forget about that. And what the point I was going to make also is I'm sitting here in the LA Magazine studios. You were on the cover a year ago this month of LA Magazine, and you were lionized for that. And a year later, as you, whatever you want to call them, I call them kind of the loony left, that 10% just can't handle, they can't get their head around it. And it's astonishing to me that they kind of brought this upon themselves in a way.
No, and as I say, I should be a hero for being one of the people who got inside the inner sanctum and was able to say to this person, who knows how much he ever hears anything that's not coming from the cult, and say those things and stick to my guns. And by the way, another thing that kind of pisses me off, the thing I did on telling the story of it was really fucking funny. It was a very entertaining 12 minutes.
It was
kind of gets lost in the puddle.
It was funny.
Wasn't it, Harvey?
So, I mean, I agree with him. I agree with him 100% on everything he just said, man. Everything he just said. And you know who he sounds a lot like? Stephen A. Smith. Interesting, right? So, I just find it kind of funny. But the reason I talked about Eminem and Kid Rock, you know, obviously is because Eminem hates Trump. It's obvious he don't like him. I mean, look.
How was I going to start this off? I forgot. Oh, yeah. That's an awfully hot coffee pot. Should I drop it on Donald Trump? Probably not, but that's all I got till I come up with a solid.
End this.
When I start talking about Trump, I get too flustered in my head, and the shit that I want to say, there's too many things I want to say at once. So sometimes I start talking I'm not able to convey the message the right way because I just get flustered and frustrated watching him play to his base that thinks that he cares about them, and it's actually the people that he cares about the fucking least. Nothing's happening. Nothing is happening. I don't know, man. I get really flustered when I talk about
it.
So,
I mean, we could play clips of Kid Rock going on Fox News, going on, you know, News Nation, whatever you call it, going on. I don't know. I mean, I don't know all of those. I mostly just watch podcasts and I read things here and there. I watch a lot of social media, but I form my own opinion on everything because that's just what I do. And I have a lot of opinions. That's why I'm doing this. I talk a lot to some of my friends and we debate a lot back and forth. We get in arguments here and there, which is unfortunate. But it does happen. And speaking of arguments, high gas prices. Is it high everywhere in the country? Or is it just high here in California? You know, I had to dive into this one because I was just curious. You know what I mean? Real curious. I mean, how would I not be curious? You know what I'm saying? But I already knew the answer because I travel a lot. Most of my travels are here in the West Coast. So I'm always traveling into Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Idaho, always. Every week or every other week, I'm in one of those states, one of the major cities in each one of those states. But, you know, here's the thing. Look at this. Mississippi, $2.71 a gallon. Right now, this is right now. This was yesterday. $2.71 a gallon. They're the number one lowest in the country. Number two lowest in the country. Tennessee, at $2.72. Same thing. Well, a penny higher. Oklahoma, $2.69. They're at number three. $2.69 a gallon. I obviously, if you live in Oklahoma, you're like, yeah, this is still high. But I don't know, man. Over here in California, that's like hitting the lottery. Texas, $2.76 a gallon. South Carolina, $2.76 a gallon right now. Now let's go over here to the top five highest in the country. The fifth to the highest, Nevada at $3.73 a gallon right now. Nevada at $3.73 a gallon. I just repeated myself. So it's already a dollar higher than the other side of the country. I don't get it. I do get why Cali's this way, and I'm going to get into that with you. And then you got Oregon is number four at $3.96 or whatever, $3.98, $3.96, somewhere right there. My eyesight's getting messed up. That's why I have to write big. That's why everything's big with a Sharpie right now, man. And you know what they say, when your eyesight goes, that's the first thing that goes. If you know what I mean, fellas, it's the first thing that goes, your eyesight. So kind of worried right now, but they got stuff for that. And I plan on making sure that's one of my sponsors. I'm working on it and we'll get there. But let's get back to this. Number three, Washington State. Now, keep in mind, I'm in all these states, man. And I'm seeing this, but I have been seeing it go down. Right now, Washington State at $4.36 a gallon, $4.36 a gallon. So it's like $1.50 higher than the other side of the country right now, man. $1.50 higher. Does that make any sense to you? Hawaii, you know, way out in the fucking ocean. Hawaii, way out there in the ocean. $4.52 a gallon, $4.52 a gallon. They're number two. Number one, the most expensive state in this entire country, right here, California, at $4.88 a gallon right now. So we're more than $2 higher than the rest of the country. $2 higher, man, than 50 other states, anywhere from $1 to $2 higher. Or anywhere, I guess, from 60 cents or 50 cents to $2 higher than the rest of the country, man. And that's on top of our 13.5% state tax. If you got a job, they're taxing you 13.5% on your paycheck. Plus, we got sales tax. When you go buy something, there's a tax on that. When you cross bridges out here, I live in the Bay Area, man, and it's all landlocked. The whole Bay Area is landlocked, so you're constantly going over bridges that cost you $7, constantly.
KTVU's Zach Soss live at the toll plaza of the busiest band, the Bay Bridge, with a new toll now in effect. Another dollar, I guess, right, Zach? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, the sign's pretty hard to miss if you've been crossing here on the Bay Bridge. Tolls going up $1 here and on six other Bay Area bridges. The only bridge not impacted by this, the Golden Gate Bridge. Carpools and clean air vehicles that use Fast Track, though, will still qualify for a discount during commute hours. The toll expected to bring in around $120 million a year for a number of transportation infrastructure projects, including an expansion of BART, Caltrain, Muni, and San Francisco Bay ferry service.
You can't get around these bridges, man. If you're traveling a lot and doing a lot of business, and I do a lot of business, I'm traveling a lot. If I'm not here, like I said, I'm in one of those states I named off earlier, man. And let's get into why is California like this? Why is California so expensive? Well, strict environmental regulations. That's number one. We require stuff that no other state requires in your gas. But yet, all the cars run okay in the rest of the country. They do okay. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't get it. I really don't get it, man. To me, it's just a hustle. It's a hustle to take more money from us. It's kind of a no-brainer. I'm not going to use the word common sense. I'm just going to say it's a no-brainer, man. It's a hustle. We're being hustled. I mean, just think about it, man. Just, you know, we got high state and local tax on the gas. So there's a high state and local gas put per gallon on the gas that we get that most other states don't see. I mean, you know, we have isolated refineries. I'm sorry, isolated refining methods. So isolated refining methods, what that basically means, all the gas that we use in this state has to be refined in this state. And we got all this red tape on how you refine in this state. That's a big problem right there. You know what I mean? Red tape means more government, more money taken from all of us. I mean, we're giving money out. That's all that means, man. They're taking more of our money. You know, demand and timing. Demand and timing, you know, they got the summer blend that they require, and then the winter blend that they require. I mean, come on, man. A summer blend and a winter blend? No one else does this. So that's why we're about $2 more a gallon than everybody else in the country. So I hope everybody learned something with that right there, because I didn't know all that. I wanted to dive into this. Like, why is my state that I live in, that they call sunshine tax money state, man, we do have the best weather, though. I ain't gonna bullshit you. I'm not going to lie to you. We have the best weather in the entire state. I travel a lot. I see it. I live it. I love it. But it is what it is. We got a lot of red tape in this state. We got a lot of taxes in this state. Man, if you don't make in the Bay Area, if you're not making six figures, and if you do just hit the six figure mark, you're lucky if you're eating at McDonald's, you know what I mean? And that's a whole nother thing. McDonald's in our state, man, it's $20 an hour for minimum wage for these, fast food places. If they got, I think, more than 400 or 500 locations, they gotta pay $20 an hour for these employees, on top of all the red tape that they pay. So you see what they do with gas. I mean, imagine what they do with all the businesses. There's layer upon layer of red tape in this state to kill small business, basically. I mean, that's all it does is kill business, 100%. If anybody doesn't get that, then, I mean, that's basic economics, man. Basic economics. And I'm a believer that if you want to pay more taxes, go ahead and go pay more taxes. No one's going to penalize you for paying more taxes. But, you know, they shouldn't force 50% of your income to go to all this kind of stuff, you know, because it's close to 50%. And then when you add up all the, you know, tolls from the trolls, you know what I mean? When you go over all the bridges, or don't tap a fast track lane. I mean, you're going to get yourself a 30-40 cent, you know, ticket in the mail. And if you don't pay that ticket in time, it turns into $25. And then I think it maxes out at $75. But keep in mind, that's because you tapped the fast track lane. You tapped it. I know, because it happens to me all the time, man. It happens to me all the time. Like I said, I'm driving around pretty much daily, or I'm traveling in another state. But out here in the Bay Area, man, I'm telling you, it's fucked up. It's real fucked up. They get us. They get us good out here, man. You got to make money out here. So they're wondering why people are hustling so much, but that's why. You got to make money if you live in the Bay Area. I mean, a piece of shit house costs over $1 million in the Bay Area. You know what I'm saying? Over $1 million. Real shit. So, man, it's crazy. So, but, you know, the funny thing about that, all these people here in the Bay Area, man, they all got, you know, their fancy, you know, handbags and shit, and their purses. And then they make fun of you if you go to the swap meet and get yourself a lookalike, you know. Like, I mean, here's what's funny about that. Check this out.
Some say as long as there's a tag saying made in China, the bag can never be luxury. However, in fact, more than 80% of the luxury bags in the world are made in China. But those luxury brands just won't acknowledge that. They take almost finished bags from China factories back to their own countries and just do the repackaging and logo installing, something like that. That way, the bags will appear at their boutiques as made in Italy or made in France. You know, those sophisticated European countries, which make you feel mysterious, royal, and thus luxury. Now, close your eyes. Let's just do a little very easy experiment in your head, okay? Mm-hmm. Imagine that you have Hermes bag and suddenly the label on it changed from made in France into made in China, while everything it's else, fake, like leathers, zippers, and hardware remain the same. Do you suddenly feel that your bag is not as luxury as before? If you do, that means you have been misled and poisoned by the market campaign of those luxury brands for too long. Welcome to the real world. Now you see, those bags are made in China by our intelligent and diligent Chinese artisans. Let's not be poisoned and misled by the market campaign any longer and be a real person. Buy a bag from our factory in China, see the real world for yourself.
All right. Isn't this funny to you, man? It is to me, but let's keep watching.
Louis Vuitton and Chanel will hate me if I tell you this. Revealing the secret behind big brand. Let's go. Heng Long from Singapore, or Bodin Rice for their lambskin from France. Tannery Haas, Italian tannery, fight. Labri Techna from Italy. Wow. Guess where I found all those secret suppliers? All in APIF Hong Kong. It's only the first day of this exhibition. There are still two more days to go. Don't miss this. Come over and check it out.
She wasn't. But he's open now.
Go Yard.
I know them brands so bad.
Oh, they're pissed.
Oh, they hate Trump.
Nah, they should be mad at China.
They exposed it. But it was illegal, technically.
Because of Trump. Is it cute when I wear when they got exposed, it wasn't for Trump.
She's tired.
Oh, to me, I would have been crying.
Because there's just so many brands, I'm starting to feel like...
Where is this at? What part of China? Hong Kong?
Yeah, they got jewelry, too.
Damn, they doing it.
But they got smart, they are, bro.
You didn't buy anything?
Y'all want the swag.
Damn! Wow.
LV pair, LV trainers. I got all pairs.
This is so bad, bro. This is terrible.
They tricked people, man.
That was the brands, man. They did it. They brainwashed the people, man. But I don't know. I mean, I guess it's our fault, really, you know? We supposed to know this. But I guess everybody don't know about the China plugs, though. Maybe not everybody. Not the average Joe knows.
Well, people know that, like, Jordans was made very cheap, and they, like, still going
to... We might know about this. The Jordans.
Everybody know about the Jordans.
The people in our neighborhood, you know, they probably... Some people probably don't know this.
That shit's funny to me. Because it's true. It's true. I've been in manufacturing for years, and I'm telling you, man, and it's a whole nother episode for us to talk about, and we are going to get into this, but just not today. China, they own manufacturing, and it really happened after the 2007 recession. I know for a fact a lot of countries, like Italy, is a prime example. They sold off machinery to China in 07 when the economy collapsed in every country. Remember when we had our housing crash here? Man, the whole world had a crash. In Italy, I know for certain, sold off machinery. And with that machinery, they handed off engineers to China. If you know anything about China, they're not known for inventing anything. They're industrial spies, man, and they're the best at it. So in 07, outside of the real reasons, you know, how they really got into all of our economies, and it's a whole nother, you know, topic, and we are going to get into it, but I'm telling you, in 2007 and in 08, they started getting machinery with engineers from other countries, basically getting the technology and the equipment so they can learn it and scale it. And what I mean by scale it, let's say they bought a machine from a boutique Italian manufacturer. They would get that machine along with those engineers, learn how to use it, and then make bigger and better machines, or even just the same size machines, but they would make 10 or 20 or 30 of them versus one, which is what Italy was known for. And that's the whole boutique concept. You see what I'm saying? That's the whole boutique concept. They can't fulfill too many orders. So they're you know, it keeps their prices up, supply and demand, like what we're talking about with gas. But for California, man, it's forget it. We're not going to jump back into that. But yeah, man. So that's a fact. That's what happened. And they notched it into all aspects of manufacturing. And they own it, man. They own it. Did you know America lost 90,000 factories? 90,000 factories. Think about that, man. 90,000 factories. But anyway, it's going to be a whole nother topic. We'll do that on a whole nother day. I just wanted to show you this, and I thought it was kind of funny because, you know, all these snobs in the air, and, you know, they'll make fun of you, man, if you're wearing anything from, you know, just if you go to an outlet or something, you know, they feel like they have to spend a lot of money. And I don't know, man. I just thought that was kind of funny. And I just, what's your take on it? What's your opinion on it? Leave me a comment. I want to know your thoughts on that, man. Real shit. So look, let's jump into the final topic here, because I think this one, it's interesting. The final topic that I kind of want to go over is, why is it? Well, first off, what does Lil Nas, Bubba Sparks, Kid Rock, and Nelly all have in common? Other than none of them are that good. And, you know, I'm sure Kid Rock's a cool motherfucker, too, in person. And Nelly, I heard he's cool in person, man. I've heard stories. Lynch has told me stories about him. But I've never been a fan of his music. It's just not my style. Kid Rock, I think I liked, like, one of his songs back when he first came out. I forget the name of the song. What is it? Oh, here it is. Yeah, so they all jumped into country music. So did Justin Timberlake and Beyonce. And Snoop. Snoop's dabbled into it, you know what I'm saying? LL Cool J's dabbled in it. But these other names I named off, I mean, they all really tried to, I mean, especially Kid Rock and I mean, there's more names out there, man. I mean, Post Malone, I mean, shit, Post Malone, he's really gone country, man. But look, here's my take on this. And this is going to be a whole nother topic that I do want to talk about and really dive deep into. And I'm just doing a lot of research right now. But basically in rap and hip hop, man, the fans, you guys, if you're a hip hop fan or a rap fan, you're not supporting the artists the way country fans support their artist. Just like, and this is gonna sound funny to you, I'm not into this music, I just know these numbers and these stats and statistics here. And we're gonna dive real deep into this, just not today, on another day. I'm just dabbling today. Man, and Christian rock. I drew a blank, man, because of this right here. But Christian music, Christian rap, Christian rock, Christian country, and all of country, man, their fans, they support in a different way, man. They buy them not just like a shirt or a hoodie, man, or a hat. I mean, they actually buy the album. They buy it if it's on vinyl. They buy the CDs or they download the CDs. They still stream it. You know what I'm saying? They still stream it, but they buy the product, man. They keep the music and that genre alive. And you guys don't realize this. You hip hop fans don't really realize this because you're seeing thousands of wannabe upcoming rappers just constantly flooding the zone. So you're thinking the scene's hot, you know what I mean? But it's not, man. It's not easy to make money for these guys. They don't make money on streaming. The money from streaming is fucking sad, man. It's sad. I see it with my own eyes, man. We're going to go real deep into it eventually, just not today. But I'm just dabbling on this today. I'm just going to touch it real quick, real fast. And I'm going to say to you that these artists, all genres, if you're just streaming music and going to Spotify and streaming it, man, you're killing the artist. I mean, they appreciate it. They love it that you're a fan. But you're making it to where if they don't tour and if they don't sell shirts, they're fucked. That's what you're doing to them. That's exactly what you're doing to them. Because, man, these guys can get, or girls, or groups, or whatever, man, whatever you want to be. I don't care what you want to be. You know, you can fuck a sheep if you want to. Just don't do it in front of me. Just don't force me to want to do it too. But that's a whole nother topic. And I know I always say that, but you're getting a taste of what this whole podcast will eventually be about. And my goal is, you know, to have people call in or Zoom in, Skype in, whatever. And we could debate some of these topics. I mean, anybody, I'll debate anybody, man. I'll talk to anybody about it because, and I don't think I know everything. I don't think I'm always right, but I do dive into everything that I talk about and I dive in deep. I'm kind of crazy about it. I put months into topics, man. And when it comes to these type of topics, I've really been thinking about all these things and diving deep. And that's why I'm not going to get too deep into this last one. But I just want to say, man, if you are a rap fan or a hip hop fan,
want to know how much Spotify pays artists and songwriters? Short answer, they don't. Spotify pays roughly 2/3 of each dollar it makes from music streams to the rights holder on platforms paid out between recording and publishing agreement. Those right holders usually include record labels, distributors, aggregators, and collecting societies. Revenue from ads and subscriptions are paid out via something called stream share. This is a number Spotify calculates by adding up how many times music owned or controlled by a particular rights holder was streamed in a month in each market, and then dividing it up by total number of streams. In fact, most streaming platforms use stream share: Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, and others. But not everyone gets paid. In April, Spotify began eliminating all payments for songs with less than 1,000 annual streams in an effort to drive revenue to what it calls emerging and professional artists. As a result, those with a bigger stream share percentage will receive bigger payments, pulled from artists with few streams.
If you're a fan of that music or that genre, you need to start downloading more, man. You need to, your favorite artists, start downloading their albums or at least download their singles. Still stream it if you want, man. I mean, they love that you stream it, man. Like I said, they love that you're a fan, but they don't make money, man. They could get millions of streams. They could get, okay, let's say an artist gets 10 million streams, you know, in a quarter. Let's say they get 10, 20 million streams in a quarter, right? You're like, damn, that's a lot. Nah, man, it's not a lot because they're struggling if that's what's happening. Because if they're getting that, they're probably only getting like 100 downloads or 200 or 300 downloads of an album and maybe 1,000 singles. Because it to me, I'm noticing people in this genre are you guys are just streaming, man, or going to YouTube and listening to it or Spotify, and you're not downloading music, man. And look, I get it. when I was younger, I mean, we were, you know, we had tapes and shit and CDs and what we did, we would just, you know, you always had a homie that, you know, would hook you up with, and someone always had all the albums, all the music. So you would just, you know, burn that shit, you know, but it wasn't as bad, man. It wasn't as easy. It wasn't as, I'm telling you, man, like, you guys think they're making money, and but they're not. There's like a handful of people. When you pay that monthly fee to Spotify, and only a handful of the biggest artists are really making all that money. Everybody else, if you're not Drake or Kendrick, man, you know. Or what's that girl's name? I can't believe I just drew a blank, man. I gotta quit smoking, but it's really because I'm not a fan of her. But not Miley Cyrus. What's her name, man? Help me out here. My girl paid like $1,500 for her tickets. Bought two of them. Man, took her daughter, but that's it. Look, what's her name, man? Forget it. Who cares? You know the point, but look. Good luck. I'll see you on the next one. And but hey, before I go, I just want to say we were sponsored and brought to you by SickTV.com. Mr. Brother Lynch Hung. All right, before we go, hey, but thank you for you know, coming in and viewing me this time. And hey, if you want to call in or leave me a video message, you know, ask me some questions. There you go. That's how you do it. And I want you to. But real quick, before we go, I do have one that, because this is the first episode, it's not easy to, you know, get these authentically yet. But this one was authentic. And but hopefully we get a lot more. And feel free to ask me whatever you want to ask me. I'm down to answer any questions. But here we go.
What's up, Dom Rao? This is Betancourt 171. Just wondering, how did you and Brother Lynch get connected? Made sick.
How did me and Lynch meet? Well, first off, I manage Brother Lynch Hung. I've been managing Brother Lynch Hung. Some of you, I didn't even say that. There's people watching this right now that are like, who the fuck is this guy? Who's Dom Rao Flicks? Some of you, you might already know who I am. Some of you may have just seen my logo on some music videos. But so how did I meet Brother Lynch? I met him through a childhood friend, man, a good friend, a lifelong friend. When I look back at it now, he's a lifelong friend, man. Calico 101. He grew up. I was friends actually with his brother. I actually wasn't friends. I knew his brother in high school, and Nick Calico 101 was his little brother. So I wasn't really friends with him when he was little, but I knew him. I knew of him. I would see him because of his brother. You know what I mean? And I just knew he was this down ass crazy little kid. You know what I'm saying? Cali was, man, that motherfucker was, he was crazy when he was little, man. Wild child, you know what I mean? And then, but you speed up the clock. He was same age as my younger brothers, my two younger brothers. One of my younger brothers later on became a bodyguard for Lynch. He was part of the security. He was one of his security, and that's a whole nother episode and something we'll talk about. It's funny. You guys will like it. It's a story about when Lynch took him to record with Snoop. With Snoop Dogg, it was funny. We'll do that on another day. But they went out there for like a week or something like that. I think it was him and obviously my brother because he was security, but I think it was Lynch, Tall Can G, Lynch's girl at the time, Zag, I think like COS. I can't remember. I was supposed to go. I couldn't go. And my brother was fresh out of the pen. Literally like 2 weeks out of Pelican Bay, and he was a big Brother Lynch Hung fan, man. and definitely a big Snoop fan. And Lynch invited me to go. I couldn't go. But I was like, hey, why don't you take my brother? And he could be security for you. And Lynch took him. But man, I'm getting off into another story. That's we'll do that on another podcast. But how did I meet Lynch? Through Calico, and we'll do that on another show, another episode, because it's a long story. Calico is like a little brother for me. He's a little brother to me to this day. We don't get to see each other a lot, man. But I think about him all the time, every now and then I reach out to him or he'll reach out to me. But we'll talk about that on another day. Thank you for coming. Thank you for viewing. And man, make sure you subscribe and hit the notification so you know when I drop another one of these, because I do plan on doing one or two of these a week, at least one a week. I'll try to do two. And I also plan on, hitting the streets when I'm out and about in all these different states I'm in and all these different places I'm in. And, I just want to, talk to the people, man. And that's it. So I'll see you guys around.
What, so that we can live.